5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything.
And we are back. Farrell on the bench. Hour number two. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty tonight, right here on Sports Grid Radio. And the Saints now have a 2nd-and-16. We have a 10-10 game, under 4 minutes left to play here in Seattle. It's been a real barn burner. There's no doubt about that. There was just a flag on the Saints, which pushed them back, Moff. And now Winston going back 2nd-and-16 has a completion. Down to the 25. So we're going to have a 3rd-and-about-6 here. He finds Smith. Now, here's the thing, Moff. What, even if they get a field goal, I don't know if I have faith in Seattle going down and tying the game.
No, I don't at all. I have no faith in Geno. The play calling, like you said, has been terrible. Even when they do get some momentum going, they just shoot themselves right in the foot with just being predictable, running right up the middle, because somehow they think the 1,500th time is going to go, this game is going to work. And they just stop everything. And then you know what? Maybe actually they decide, hey, we're going to actually throw the ball. And Geno takes a terrible sack. So every time they have something go right, like you said, one step forward, two step back.
And they had, and I can't trust the field goal kicker either. That was almost a pick. Jameis almost threw it to the other team. He won it once again. He loves doing that move, Mafia, where he points down the field. It's about the 3rd or 4th time Jameis has done it tonight. He points down the field and then throws the ball absolutely nowhere near the guy that he's pointing to. Nowhere near.
Yeah, it's like the kid in the playground. That was, go deep, like every play, just telling everyone go deep. Like that's just straight, just run, nope, deeper, deeper, and then he throws 10 yards short.
All right, so now you get this Brian Johnson. Tonight's his first career NFL game. He's made a field goal from 21 yards. Myers has missed a couple. This is 42 for this kid. It's his first ever. You got to be joking me here. You have got to be kidding me if this flag's on Seattle. What do we got here, Mafia? An offsides. Now, what was it? Was it 6 or 5? This is not going to be a first down, is it? Oh, my God, it's a first down. Oh, you got to be kidding me.
Why? Why would you do that, though? You got the elements. You got this kid not knowing what he's doing.
You got to be kidding me. Oh. I mean, what are we doing here? Mafia, what is that guy doing?
Especially that position. Like, all you have to do is look at the ball in front of you. It's not one of these outside guys kind of guessing, looking down the line, you know, got a bunch of bodies. He's right in front of the ball. All you do is watch the ball. They snap, you run.
I don't understand how that happens. How does that happen.
Did he just fall forward because he's slippery?
And you've got a kicker on. You're talking 40-plus yards for a guy. There's Jameis pointing at guys again. At least this time he actually completed the pass. I mean, the whole thing bothers me, Mafia. It just does. You got a kicker out there, and it's his first NFL game. He's kicking a 40-plus yard field goal in really bad conditions. And now, forget that. They're going to score a touchdown now. They're inside the five. Just give it to Kamara and let him just bang it in.
Right, which you can't match. If it was a field goal, you have a chance. Touchdown, they have no chance.
Jeez. How do you botch a game like as bad as they have in this second half? Seahawks should be winning right now. Oh, this is ugly. And Kamara's got nowhere to go, but he bounces out. And here's the other problem for the Seahawks, Mafia. They got no timeouts. They got one left. They burned two of them in the third quarter because they didn't know what they were doing. We welcome all our radio affiliates. This is Pharrell on the Bench. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty tonight right here on Sports Grid Radio. As we're getting down to the end, Saints and Seahawks. Tie game. High drama. Not exactly great football, but we got high drama, that's for sure. As the Saints got the second and goal, about 2.5 to go in the fourth quarter. The Seahawks have just completely handed them this football game. And let me tell you, hold them to 3, Mafia. At least the guy, you know, everybody with the 4.5 tickets, at least we can still win that. Again, he's pointing. What is he pointing at, Mafia? What is this guy pointing at?
Only got 10 yards. How deep you want them to go? Hey, go in the stands. I'll throw it there.
All right. Well, here's the key. Third and goal, but there's 2:16 left. So, if you stop a Mafia and you hold the 3, you're still going to have 2 minutes left to go. Because the Saints, obviously, the clock's going to stop at 2. Or it's if it's an incomplete pass, whatever happens. So the Seahawks, no matter what the situation is here, touchdown, field goal, whatever, they're going to get one more crack at this thing. Because of the amount of time left.
Right. They will. That's what will they
unless
do with
they
it?
Unless they get a dopey, you know, pass interference play in the end zone and a first down again. That can ruin them, but...
Yeah, if they give up some automatic first down here on some dumb penalty, then they will not get it back. Well, they probably still will, because at that point it'll be right on there, and you know the Saints have to do everything they can possibly do to not get in the end zone or not score. I don't think that's going to happen. You're going to get some time, but like you said, they burn all their timeouts before, like idiots.
These games right here, Mafia, are the games they invented gambling for. I mean, they really are. I mean, you want to put your head through it while watching this game.
These are the games they invented and asked for.
Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty. We keep rolling on the grid right after this. And we are back. For all on the Bench, Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty tonight right here, Sports Grid Radio. So the Saints do get the field goal, Mafia, after the two-minute warning. So we got a 1:56 left. The Saints are up 3, and the Hawks are going to be getting the football. I have absolutely zero faith that this guy's going to move them down the field. And even if he does, Mafia, I've already got a kicker who's supposed to be reliable, Jason Myers, that has missed 2 field goals tonight. So I'm not feeling very good about the Seahawks right now.
I think just because they want to prolong this pain that we have been in over the last 3 hours or so, they will get a field goal. I don't believe they should. I don't believe that Geno Smith has done a great job throughout this game. And, you know, the offense has seemingly been terribly called. But for some reason, they're going to extend this because that's what the NFL wants and that's what the NFL gets. And they want to put us through more agony. And they're going to drag this out longer.
Jeez. And they've had a few of these on Monday night already this year, Mafia. We've had a bunch of overtime games down to the, you know, down to the end, nail biters. Mm-hmm. There's been quite a few. I don't know. Now, look, there's a part of me that wants to say just end the game now, because if you got the Seahawks plus 4.5, just end the game. I mean, that's perfectly fine with me. But there's another part of me, Mafia, which is greedy and wants the money line portion of it as well. So we want them to win this game, but I just don't see a path to that. I just don't see it right now.
I see one path. DK, 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 DK.
Only threw him up first
five times. There we go.
Too bad he bounced it on the ground twice before it got
there. Oh, it doesn't count if he doesn't catch it.
he threw it to him, but he, you know, he threw him a short hop.
Point per reception, not point per target, Carver High. Jeez.
This guy stinks, man. Like, now he takes a sack. This is just awful. You know how this game should end, Mafia? It should end on a Geno turnover. That's really how it ends.
Yeah.
Fumble like or a sack. Game. Just don't return it for a touchdown so that we at least keep the 4.5. All right? At least do that for us. Make one part of it a winner. Keep us in the mix for one part of it.
I mean, I got to check how many sacks the Saints had as a team this year coming into this game that they had 4 in this game. It's just ridiculous that.
Another sack. I mean, what are we doing? What are we doing here? Is he serious? Now, look, we could use a little blocking. It's not all on him. He's got about a half a second to throw. Ugh.
They had only 8 sacks coming into this game all season. They already got 4-5 in this game.
Yeah, the Seahawk offensive line is embarrassing. So it's 4th and 28. Do you know what play I dial up here, Mafia? I dial up the play that the Colts dialed up all night against the Niners last night. Throw it deep and hope a guy gets tangled up for a pass interference.
Yeah, exactly. Just honestly, bomb it to DK, have him come back, and they just tackle it, trying to stop him.
That's it. You look at
all game.
14, up and in. I mean, that's it. Up and in, I'm throwing it right down the middle, 30, 40 yards downfield, and hope you get a flag or he catches it. That is your only play that you could possibly call on 4th and 28. Run to the middle of the field. I'll chuck it down there. You grab it. Or you force some contact. Get us a flag. Throw the flag play, Mafia. That's what we need here. Now, the Saints, of course, are playing back for this.
I mean,
it's hard to pull these off.
So bad. If they let this off, then they deserve to lose the game just on display. Just give them 7 points right there.
There's no way they can let this. That's 4th and 28 on their own 10. This isn't going to happen. Got the defensive coordinator, which I believe is the great Dennis Allen, former Raider coach, in there talking to them right now. There's Pete, run the ball in the middle again. I mean, just top your night off like that. God, the sad thing is, Mafia, I mean, we're in line to win a bet here with the 4.5 with the Seahawks, but we want more.
He's chewing that gum so aggressively, he's gonna have a swollen jaw tomorrow, man. He's so worked up about this terrible game. He's really working that gum. I wonder how many he's probably got through a whole pack of gum this game because of just chewing over and over, just worrying about Geno taking sacks and running up the middle.
I bet you the 4 guys on the line will get through to him for a sack.
Or get any call that's an automatic first down, at least.
Yeah.
Even if it's just a 5-yard holding.
And he's going to take a safety. Oh, if he takes a safety, Mafia, I will go bonkers. All right, he didn't take a safety. That was close, because if he takes a safety and it gets over 4.5, oh, that would have been so Geno, Mafia, if he did that. Oh, it would have been so Geno.
That would have been.
All right, well, can we just take a knee, please, and get out of here with our 4.5, please?
Ugh, Geno, I hate you so much. So close. So close. Lose by 1.5 because you can't find one of the best receivers in the NFL.
Man, that was dicey.
12 of 22.
I'll say this, Mafia. I still feel good about what I said about the Saints today. I still feel like it was, you know.
Oh, yeah, nobody won this game.
I had the right feeling on the Saints. It's just the team that they were playing were such dogs that they couldn't make it happen.
Right, you left 6 points on the board. I mean, even if you get one of those, you're tied up. Because not like they're both, I mean, the weather's bad, but one of them was right there, not too far away. He should have made that, and he knows what he's doing up there. You know, and this is when you look at the stats, you check out things. Sometimes where you look at the numbers and you're like, how does that possibly make sense? That Jameis Winston, 19 of 35, 222 yards, 1 touchdown. Geno Smith, 12 of 22, 167 yards, 1 touchdown. Somehow still, Geno Smith had a higher QB rating than Jameis Winston.
Who do the Saints got coming up here, Mavi? I just want to see. I need to get them some losses. I also played their win total under this year, which is another reason why I'm after them. Bucks, Falcons, Titans, Eagles, Bills, Cowboys. J- Jets, Bucks again, Dolphins. You see, they play a lot of these teams. They got, what do they got now? 4 wins. They're 4-2. I'm not going to win that bet, Moff, because they're going to be.
What was the total?
It was 9.5. I actually played it at 8.5 for the plus money because I figured they weren't going to win 9 games. Do they have 5 more wins in them here? Eagles is one.
Eagles isn't a guaranteed one.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? The way they play on the road,
at the Eagles isn't.
Now they're at the Jets. You would think that's a win. They have the Dolphins at home. That's 2. They'll at least split with the. Now they could beat the Falcons both times.
Hey, Deshaun Watson might be playing for the Dolphins by then.
I think I'm still alive here, but I need the Bucs to beat them twice. I need the Titans and the Bills to take care of business and the Cowboys. That's 5 losses right there. That only gets them to 7. I would need somebody else to come through. They're not going to lose to the Panthers twice. I'm probably in trouble on that season total bet on the Saints Mafia. I'm probably in trouble.
Yeah, it's going to be a close one, but I think you still might get it. I think that, you know, some of these teams are going to come alive here. Like I said, you probably have Winston start in Miami for that game after Christmas. It depends what kind of Sam Darnold we get in that Panther games for both those. They'll get smoked by the Bucs. Falcons, I think, can beat them. They're, you know, now they got Pitts going. You know, their defense is non-existent, but they can put up offense where we see that the, you know, the Saints are going to have problems with that all year. So you might have a good chance here. The Eagles are questionable. They can, you know, have a good game out of nowhere and pull that out.
Look, I know that the weather was bad or whatever. You still can't come out of this game feeling good about the Saints, Mavi. You just can't. Especially with how Geno played, you only beat him by 3 points. You still can't.
Yeah, even though they won.
Great.
Even though they won, we all lose for watching this because that's how terrible this was.
Well, look, you know, Pharrell on the bench, Carver Ryan Mafia in for Scotty
Nine Sports Radio.
It certainly is. We will come back. World Series starts tomorrow night. I'm very excited. That's for sure. We'll talk about that and much more. Sports Grid Radio, Pharrell on the bench. We keep rolling right after this. And we are back. Frill on the bench, Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty tonight right here on Sports Grid Radio. Saints survive in Seattle 13-10. Not exactly the most crisp played game, that's for sure. But there you go. End of week 7 in the NFL. We now move on to week 8, Cardinals in the back. On Thursday night, Seahawks did come off 4.5 or 5.5, depending on if you got it closer to kickoff. But it is a cover for the Seahawks, which I did like to see. Nice. So how about the World Series tomorrow night, Mafia? Let's move our attention over to there. We have Atlanta and Houston getting going tomorrow night in H-Town. Braves plus 125 for the series. Astros minus 150. In the game one odds, Houston, of course, the favorite. They've got Framber Valdez going minus 138. Braves got Charlie Morton plus +118. On the surface, Mafia, I'm rooting for the Braves. I'm going to tell you, hopefully, with the Braves, the plus money. And I think it's actually going to be a pretty entertaining World Series.
Yeah, I think so, too. It isn't exactly the teams that anybody would have, you know, picked or wanted to be here. I think everybody would have been rooting against the Astros outside of Houston, as we know. I think everybody, you know, likes the Dodgers and the big names that they had and some of these other teams in baseball. I mean, I guess Dodgers probably the only ones in the NL people were getting really excited about overall. Maybe the Giants, you know, you had the story of them leading the whole way or something, but the Braves weren't the one that anyone thought. And maybe in the AL, a lot of people were on Tampa early on. Then after Boston beat them, people were saying, oh, well, it looks exactly like, you know, when they won before. And, you know, kind of jumping on that bandwagon. So it's not exactly what people would have thought or picked or, you know, expected. But I think it's going to be awesome. I think we saw some great performances by these two teams, especially the Braves. You know, kind of the underdog roles here. When you see some of the guys that they brought in at the deadline that were basically scraps. They didn't make the sexy trades that the Yankees made. They didn't make, you know, they don't have the big names that the Dodgers do, you know, overall outside of, you know, guys like Freddie Freeman and Albies. But still, they get it done, and they're, you know, play great team ball. And even though they're in my division as a Met fan, you know, I'm rooting for them. I like them. They're, you know, a team that's easy to get behind. And, of course, anytime anyone's playing the Astros, most people can root for them and not the other way. So I think somehow, because, you know, the whole proving everybody wrong and getting their retribution for the last year and a half of the beatings they've taken for the cheating, I think the bad guys are still going to win because that's the way real life is. But I'm rooting for Atlanta, and they sure have a shot.
They certainly do. I'm looking at FanDuel actually put Mafia a lot of different props for the series up. They must have did this tonight because I didn't see these this morning when I was looking for over stuff for Coast to Coast. Total home runs hit over under 16.5, -120, -104 to the over. I mean, both of these teams, Mafia, they scored a lot of runs in the championship series. Both teams did. I feel like 16.5 homers. Let's say we get 6-game series. That's almost 3 homers a game. That's tough. I bet you I'll probably get sucked into one of these bets, Mafia, with this most home runs in the series. They've got, will there be a grand slam hit? Yes, +310. Total runs scored, 53.5. About team to hit more home runs, Mafia. Braves -118, Astros -108.
Yeah, when you first said that 16 of the home runs, I'm like, oh, it sounds pretty juicy. And then when you broke it down, you're right. Almost 3 a game, you know, is something that's going to be a lot, especially given, you know, what we saw from these pitching staffs that started to come alive in that series at the end, especially with Houston. I mean, those young pitchers that were on the mound, you're saying, get lit up in the beginning of that series and then come back. We're just absolutely dominating towards the end. So I don't know, you know, if I could jump on there and say that all of a sudden things are going to go back and shift and they're going to get smacked around again. I think that, you know, we're going to get some better pitching performances than we saw. Obviously, you might be a little bit tighter as far as taking chances with the managers or even some of these, you know, these batters. They might shorten up the swing a little bit and just try to make things happen, because you're not going to get that many chances against guys like Valdez and Garcia, you know, on the Houston side, or Fried on the Braves side. So I think you might see a little bit more small ball here than the big home runs we're seeing in other, you know, series that they had earlier.
Player to hit to have the most hits. Altuve, 11-1. That's pretty good. Brantley's a favorite, +850. Freddie Freeman, +950. Albies, 10-1. Yordan Alvarez, 10-1. Oh, Altuve, 11-1. I feel like he could have a huge series, Mafia. Altuve could have a huge series.
He could, because he's one of those guys, you know, he's been an off for so long. So, you know, you expect him to break out at some point, especially, you know, we're talking about the Astros in their, you know, quest to prove that they're legit. Is there anybody who's taken more abuse than him over these last couple of years? So he could be the, you know, the one to really, and we've seen with the attitude that he had, you know, with the Yankees and the different things that he's done in the series that he did with them, or even the Red Sox, like, he likes to show people up. He likes to, you know, play the bad guy here. So I wouldn't be surprised if he has some extra motivation and gets it going here.
Yeah, I like him here. Obviously, Alvarez, Yordan has been absolutely on fire. For the Braves, you know, the Braves do hit a lot of homers. Those guys hit a lot of home runs, man. I think I would lean Braves -118, and that's where they're favorite, -118 to hit the most home runs in the series. They also have number of games. If you think it's going to go long, +200 for 6 games, +210 for 7 games, +290 for 5. Series correct score. I usually like to screw around with this, Mafia. If I like the Braves, I think Braves in 6 at +550. How about that? That's a little juice there, +550. Braves in 6.
Yeah, I would say that's the sweet spot there, because obviously, if you think it's going to be a great series, everyone's just going to go 7. But, you know, it doesn't happen that often. The 5 wouldn't be a good series. That'd be them, you know, kicking their butts. So I think 6 is a sweet spot. That's where I would feel comfortable playing it as well.
I think it's 6 either way, Moff. I don't see anybody losing in 4 or 5 in this series. I think there's enough hot bats on both sides that at least there's going to be 2 games won by the loser of this series. I mean, listen, you never know with these things. Baseball is very funny. And you know what else I saw today, Moff, which was interesting for baseball? If the Braves win, that will be the 15th different World Series winner in the last 21 years. So the last 21 years, 15 different World Series winners. And everybody thinks of baseball no salary cap, no this, you know, the team spending more than others, and you're going to have half the league winning a World Series in the last 21 years. That's pretty ridiculous.
That is, especially considering when you look at the last, 10 to 15 years. I mean, the Giants won a couple there. Dodgers were, went to a bunch in a row. The Rangers went to a couple in a row. Houston's been to, three or four or something like that. So you've had a lot of the same participants, just different teams have gotten it done. I mean, Boston won a couple in the last, that time period. So when you've had some repeat champions and you've had a bunch of teams that have been there a bunch of times, it is surprising that you've had so many different winners.
Yeah, the only repeats were the Red Sox have four during that span. The Giants have three, and the Cardinals have two. Those are the repeats off the top of my head that I do remember. So everybody else has been one, and the Braves can make it 15 in the last 21. Pretty interesting. The parity, as they like to say. They don't like using that word anymore, Mafia. They don't like it when you say parity. Competitive balance, Mafia. Competitive balance in baseball.
Is that like setting the edge?
Setting the edge, competitive balance.
That's the lingo of the day.
Yeah. And I told you, I was telling you earlier your thoughts on this. I'm taking a shot with some of these guys for MVP because I just think they get big hits. Austin Riley, Rosario, Duvall, Jock Peterson. If the Braves win, I feel like it's going to be one of those guys. It's not going to be Freeman or Albies. It's going to be one of those guys they acquired that's had so many big hits for them here in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, that's the guys who led them to this spot. Rosario was the MVP of the last series. Jock has had a couple big hits. I think that would be, good value there for those guys. And you're not going to get the same value if you go up with the big names, just swing there. So if you want to take a shot at a guy who's, 500, 600, why not? If you win, don't put a huge bet on it, but that's where you're getting the most value. That's where you're getting the best odds. Take a shot. Take a couple. No, I think that's a little different. Dan was talking about doing that with, how many games. That one didn't equate to me as much. I didn't think that the math on that one added up. But if you take a shot on four or five guys in MVP, the way those odds are with these guys that have had great playoff runs that aren't the big names, it does pay out. It does work out the math. So you might as well.
Yeah, definitely. Like, even if you don't want to play this, instead of playing the series, pick four or five guys and spread the unit out amongst that. Now, look, can you obviously lose it? Of course you can. The Astros have so many guys that you could turn over the leaf. I mean, even if you played their five favorite guys, Altuve, Brantley, Bregman, Alvarez, and Correa, I mean, is there still a chance Kyle Tucker wins it? Of course. Yuri Gurriel. I think you're actually those five for Houston. Tucker's the only guy that could burn you if you went with the top five. For on the bench, Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty right here, Sports Grid Radio. We will keep rolling. Well, I want to get back into this college football from earlier too, Mafia. I want your take on the dopey overtimes from Penn State. Pharrell on the bench, Sports Grid Radio. We keep rolling right after this. And we are back. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High, and Mafia in for Scotty. He will be back tomorrow night and tomorrow afternoon on Coast to Coast and on the bench right here tomorrow night. Sports Grid Radio. The college football, Mafia, I did not get to bring this up with you yet. Talked about it with Dane a little bit on the TV show. And, of course, a lot with Lisi this afternoon on College Football Full Circle. That they have to get rid of that overtime rule. That is one of the dumbest things I have ever seen in my life, that after the second overtime, they just start going back and forth with two-point conversions. It's like the NHL with the dopey shootout or any of these other ways. Like, it's stupid. What is the point? Like, they didn't want overtimes to go long anymore, and I get it. What happened on Saturday was freaky. Neither team could score. It was embarrassing. But the way it ending a game like that, back and forth, two-point conversions, stupid, Mafia. Stupid.
Yeah, absolutely agree, 100%. I mean, I forgot even that they had changed the rule until that game was going back and forth, and I'm getting the alerts, and it's like, eighth overtime, 20-18. I'm like, how are we this far in overtime if no one's scoring? And, seeing that these two-point conversion, because not only that, these teams are getting completely out of their game. Illinois was running the ball down Penn State's throat all game, and all of a sudden they go into, oh, it's two-point conversion. Now we have to throw for like five of the six of them until they realize, oh, this doesn't work. We can't pass worth a damn. So I think it's just a terrible rule. I get it. And for the longest time, college was the best overtime. You know, I don't know why they changed it.
Yeah.
I know you don't want to go too long, but, you know, everyone was looking at that when they were trying to figure out what to do with the NFL overtime. They said, you know, the NFL stinks. You know, this whole long period, and you can still end in ties, the back and forth of college. You want to keep the two-point conversion, do like you did before, where if you get a touchdown after the second one, you have to go for two. And then it makes it more exciting and changes things. It was fine before. I don't know why they had to screw it up on the, you know, the off game where you get five or six overtimes in a row and it takes a while. I mean, come on. This one took forever, and you had the stupid two-point conversion in there. So I just think it was stupid for them to change it. And now hopefully they see that it was a terrible idea and they go back to what they had before, because that definitely did not work.
Look, they had a couple of instances in the last 10 years where, you know, the game reaches the sixth overtime, the seventh overtime. They keep putting the ball at the 25. You're getting into the amount of plays that the players are running and they're out there for so long. They act like it happened every week. I mean, it was a once in a full moon situation that you would get a game like that. And just like Saturday was a once in a full moon situation. Like, that's the first time none of us knew the rule had really changed because we hadn't had any games to experience it yet. And now that we know that it's there, it just bothers you because it's like, this is dumb. And there's going to be another game that could potentially be decided like this with just dueling two-point conversions. Absolutely silly. Switching the other ends of the field too. Like, get lost. How stupid do you get? You got to be kidding me. And Penn State loses. Their season's over. So screw them too.
Especially because it wasn't even like they made it, you know, a situation where, hey, let's do something that we have all the time. Like, you did field goal kicking. It's stupid. It's a skill competition, but at least you do that all the time. You know, this. How many times in a college game, now, yes, probably more than the NFL, although now with the way that all the analytics guys are going for it more than ever, but how many times do you actually go for two to have that many plays that you could run, you know, back-to-back in overtime? Like, this is something that's so rare in the game, and you are using it to determine it, just like the stupid shootouts in soccer and hockey. Like, you're turning into a skill, you know, almost a skills competition, not really a skills competition, but you're taking something that's such a minuscule part of the game and making it the way to determine it. It is just asinine.
Yeah, really stupid. And Penn State, hey, look, they deserve to lose no matter what way it's sliced out. I mean, even though it was silly the way that game ended, Penn State didn't play well. They had 10-0 lead in the game.
No,
they
terrible. Blew
that. They should have never went to overtime with a team as bad as Illinois. And they shouldn't have played Clifford. He wasn't healthy. Just, they deserve what they get. So does James Franklin. You know, I can't believe they still tout him for all these jobs. And we'll hear from Scott on this tomorrow, Mafia. But Carson Palmer was doing that spot with Dan Patrick earlier today and apparently said something he wasn't supposed to say. He's like part of the group that's like in the discussions at USC about the next head coach. And he named a whole bunch of guys. And in that was Mike Tomlin, the Steelers. And he mentioned James Franklin, Luke Fickell from Cincinnati, Matt Campbell from Iowa State, and then slides Tomlin in there. You could tell he knew he shouldn't have said it. That's very interesting there. Tomlin, we know he's never had a losing season in Pittsburgh. Scott talks about it all the time. Why would you want to get rid of a guy that never loses? We know that there are some people that do want him out. I can't believe that he'd be looking to get out of town and go coach USC after the Pittsburgh Steelers. I just don't believe that one.
No, I don't believe it all because, you know, like you said, there is no getting rid of him anyway. They're not going to fire him in Pittsburgh. The guy's, you know, one of the best coaches they've ever had. He's consistent. He's just going through rough patches right now because you have an old quarterback and you have no one to get ready for the regular, you know, the rest of their career because they just haven't done that right drafting with these quarterbacks that they've taken in these different roles. So, yeah, he's in a rough patch right now compared to where he's been, but they're not getting rid of him. They're loyal in Pittsburgh. It would only be if he wanted to leave, if he said, hey, listen, we're not set up for after Ben's out of here and this guy's on his last legs, I'm going to go somewhere else. But if he did do that, it wouldn't be to USC. USC is not the job everyone's making it out to be. It's not the USC it was when Pete Carroll was coaching there. It is not a dynasty anymore. It isn't shambles from what it was. It's not getting the top recruits anymore. They're going to places like Clemson and, I mean, Alabama always got them, but they're going to other schools that were not thought of to be in the mix for any of these guys back in the day. It's not the same as where, you know, you only have a certain teams that are on TV every week and you want to go there to become an NFL player. That's not what USC is anymore. Pac-12 isn't what it is anymore. Like, you go to the Pac-12, you're fighting an uphill climb to get into the college football playoffs. Not that that's the big thing for these kids anymore. It's about making the NFL, about making the money. But sure, you'll get some good, name, image, likeness money in LA, I'm sure. Probably better money than you might get in some other towns. But USC isn't the program it was. It's not the draw that it used to be. You get nice weather. You got cute co-eds, but you're not winning football games. And they're going to run you out if you don't.
Yeah, I mean, Scotty says it all the time. I mean, they love, the Rooneys love Mike Tomlin. And they love him. And, you know, they win every year. Well, I mean, look, do they win the Super Bowl every year? No. Has Tomlin not done that in a while? Yeah, I get that. But they also have winning seasons every single year. So, but I thought that was a very bizarre mix with Palmer saying that Mike Tomlin's in the, now those other guys, everybody wants those other guys. Everybody wants James Franklin and Matt Campbell and Luke Fickell. Those guys are all in demand. And all these jobs, all going to be open, Mafia. We've mentioned it already. Big programs, LSU, USC. Now, some people say USC, like you were just saying, not the biggest program anymore. It's still a name brand. Miami, still a name brand if they fire Manny Diaz, which they should. I don't care that they beat NC State over the weekend. Nebraska, right, if they fire Scott Frost, name brand. Going to be a lot of name brands out there.
Texas Tech just opened up today, too. I mean, they're pretty solid school right now. They're not the names of some of those other ones, but they have a solid background.
Here's where Texas Tech, I mean, and Matt, they fire Matt Wells, who, by the way, was 5-3 when they fire him. Blows the 24-10 lead to Kansas State on Saturday. They have not had, the worst thing they ever did, Mafia, was get rid of Mike Leach. Now, they get rid of Leach, and they have now, they're 0-3 with coaches. Haven't had a winning season in the Big 12. They've only made, I think, four bowls in the last 10 years. That's not a great job. Leach made that a great job because Leach was so good. Since then, Texas Tech's done nothing. I mean, zero.
Yeah, I mean, the guys have failed there, but there's plenty of places you could say that, you know, if you get the right coach, it can become a place again. I mean, Miami, would you say Miami's a great job right now with what Diaz has done to them? No, they've failed for coaches, too.
It's still a name brand. It's a name brand. That's which is, you know.
And the name's mud right now. I mean, they've been terrible for, you know, they had a couple of good wins. They had the win over Notre Dame. Other than that, what have they really done the last 20 years?
They're going to go flashy and hire Ed Reed. That is what Miami's going to do. They get rid of Diaz. They're going to go flashy, and they're going to make Ed Reed the head coach of Miami. Now, I don't know if that's a great idea. He doesn't have head coaching experience anywhere, but I will bet my bottom dollar that that's what the Hurricanes do, Muff.
I agree with you 100%. And, you know, whether he's going to have success or not isn't going to be who he is or anything like that. It's going to be who he brings to work with him, who's on his staff, as you get with, you know, some of these coaches that come in here that are first-year coaches, whether it be college or the pros. You need, you know, that staff behind you as well.
Let me ask you this, because just because I saw the commercial. Is Kayla Harrison fighting Clarissa Shields, or are they in separate fights in this PFL thing on Wednesday night? Are they fighting each other?
No, they're not fighting each other. In fact, because Clarissa wasn't in the tournament. In fact, I think Clarissa Shields might have pulled out of hers.
They can't be in the same weight class, right? Are they in the same weight class?
That I have to look into. I don't think so. But I don't think that. But they're not fighting each other for sure. Clarissa Shields jumped in late. She did not, you know, become part of the tournament to try to win the $1 million.
Kayla's a monster. She can't be in the same weight class as her. I mean, she's. And when does she get go to the UFC? That's got to be soon, right? Because I'm tired of her fighting in this dopey PFL. She's got to go and fight some. But she's -3,500 against this girl on Wednesday night. Could she please go to the UFC already and go fight? I know I've asked this like 16 times. Can she fight Nunez? Who has to lose the weight? Who has to gain the weight? What do we got to do here to get Kayla Harrison and Nunez in the same octagon?
Harrison has to lose the weight because right now she's fighting at 155, the highest the UFC goes or has gone is 145 right now. And even that division, they were talking about, you know, that they might abolish because right after Megan Anderson lost to Nunez, they released her and there isn't that many left in that division. They don't have rankings for it. But there are still some girls there fighting in that division. So they have it for now. If she could drop that 10 pounds, maybe. The question is going to be, what does she care about more? Is it about legacy or is it about money? Because, you know, we know over and over again, sure, if you become a star in the UFC, they might pay you. But for the most part, they underpay women especially too. And I don't think they're going to pay and be the highest bidder for her. PFL, if she wins a tournament, which she's rolled through these women, she makes $1 million. You know, Bellator, they might be willing to put money up for her too. I think those two organizations are going to pay her more. So if it's about beating the best and being the best, you know, ever, then maybe she goes and fights Nunez or maybe jumps to Bellator and then fights Cyborg. But if it's just about money, she might be okay saying the PFL backed up by ESPN and their cash.
Is that who Bellator's get? That's their big woman fighter is Cyborg? I mean, she's washed up.
Yes.
She's no good anymore, right? I mean, I'm sure she's beating up people in Bellator, but she ran away from, I'm going to say ran away, whatever the deal is. She left UFC because she lost a couple fights, right?
Well, she lost to Cyborg, and then, she lost to Nunez, and that's the thing. And no one's beating Nunez right now. So, she's still one of the best, but she's not going to beat Nunez.
I need Harrison. I need Harrison and Nunez. That you want to get me gassed up for something, UFC Mafia? Get me Nunez and Harrison in a fight next year. That's what I really want. Let me ask you this, because I'm just looking at the odds here. Why the hell are they having the pay-per-view at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturday? What are they doing that for?
Back in Abu Dhabi.
Oh, jeez. I mean, who the hell's watching that at 2 in the afternoon on Saturday with all the great college football games that are going on? At least if they did their normal midnight, the games aren't, that great at the nighttime slate. Jeez, I mean, Błachowicz and Teixeira going to go off at 5:30 Eastern? That's tough, Muff. That's tough. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High and Mafia here for Scotty. He's back tomorrow. Sports Grid Radio. We will wrap this puppy up on the grid right after this. And we are back. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty as we're wrapping this one up. He'll be back tomorrow on Coast to Coast and the bench, the whole deal. The Clippers are absolutely hammering. One second, Moff. There we go. We got it back. The Clippers are absolutely hammering the Blazers right now, 67-48, third quarter. Live line minus third and half for them. Saints beat the Seahawks 13-10 on Monday Night Football. So that was fun. We took 3 hours of our lives there for what was, excuse me, Mop, a very uninspiring, good win for the Saints, I guess. Capitals 7-5, Ovi with two tonight, Mafia. Let's go. Sabres go to 4-1. They beat the Lightning. The Lightning can't get out of their own way, Mafia. What a shame.
Hey, eventually they all got to fall, right?
Yeah, they certainly do. And we did give you that over. Actually, I never even think we did. We never got to the hockey today, me and Dane. Off air, I gave them the over. 5-3, they beat the Coyotes tonight, the Panthers. Oh, boy. Mafia, great stuff as always. I think we get to do this a lot next week, right? Scotty out all week.
Big week.
First couple of days next week. The back end of next week, I'll be all by my lonesome, right?
That is correct. I'll be there on Monday, Tuesday with you next week, and then you'll be handling it solo the last three.
There you go. Sounds good. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High, Mafia, Scotty back tomorrow. Have a good night, everybody.